Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, April 20th, 2007. Last week's guest, Saturday night, Tom Kenyon, was amazing. Everybody loved him, one of our best shows ever. And this Saturday night, the 21st, April 2007, will even be just as good or better, Jonathan Goldman. He's going to do some amazing chants for us. He's also author of The Lost Chord and a whole House Sound Healing. And, oh, my gosh, some of his music is amazing. I've been playing it, so I might even play it at the sound conference if you'll let me use it as a backdrop. Anyway, we're going to continue on with the No Charge Seminar Series. It's on bbsradio.com, and I've rewound the tape deck about 5 minutes so that we can recapture a little bit of the momentum we had from last Friday's show. And, of course, you can get all the information on the archives. And we're getting very close to seeing a lot of you up at the San Francisco Conference at the Cathedral Hill Hotel. And let's see if Dr. Bell's available here.
Well, happy there he is. A lot of people are amazed when the pulsating happens. Now, some people can get in the system and feel it right away, meaning that the pulsing sensation will start for them instantly and the crystal will roll off their head. Other people will take a half an hour before the phenomenon starts. Some people it takes 2 or 3 hours. Other people can do it in 15 seconds. It depends on your conditioning. And don't be discouraged if it doesn't happen for you the first time around. It will happen. It always does. It just takes a little practice. Mainly the practice is to learn how to relax, because once you relax, the system is automatic.
I have to interrupt here for a second. When you lay on your back and you have this little crystal on your head, sometimes with some people we have a psychic explosion and it will pop off. It won't just roll off when you're laying there with this crystal on your head, either your crystal or one of these round lead crystals that we used to use. And we had a lady in Switzerland pop one off. It just popped off when she programmed her master crystal. It went 30 feet. We measured it. She set a record. We've had some people move them 4 or 5 feet, but 30 feet was the record. We thought that was amazing. Continuing on.
Now, some of the things that you can do at this point when you're loading the system up is you could put, for example, a book in it and program to read the book, or you could put a cassette in it and listen to the words on the cassette subconsciously. And these kinds of things I would imagine that you would do before you go to bed. Now, we have to take into consideration the moon cycles for programming. When you start getting into programming for outside events, you only program during the new moon period, which is about approximately 2.5 weeks of the month. The full moon period, which is the other 2.5 weeks of the month, is a very powerful period of agitation on the astral plane. Any kind of energy that's going to block you will be prevalent on the surface of the earth and in the ether, so you don't want to program or even work with your system that much as far as trying to influence outside events or others during the full moon period, because you'll only meet with blockage and it's just a draining energy experience. So you leave the system alone and it will work its way through these obstacles automatically. Then during the new moon period, you can then reprogram and get down and start pushing it again for accomplishments of what you want. Now, if you were going to do a self-help type of program system we just mentioned, what you'd do is you wouldn't have to align the pyramid to the magnetic north, because it's going to have a gold capstone on it. But it would be necessary to align the bottom part of the mag orb to the magnetic north. And this can be done with a small compass. And what you do is you align one side of it so that the mag orb has 4 octahedrons on it, so they're in pairs of 2 and 2 and 2. So you align one wall of octahedrons to the magnetic north, along with the insulating plate and the crystals, of course, that are. After you find that you've aligned this to the north, that the irradiator is not facing you as you lay in the pyramid, then what you want to do is swivel the irradiator on the top of the mag orb and get it directly in the position facing you inside the pyramid. Once you've got it facing you, what I use is a little duct tape or some scotch tape or masking tape to tape it down so it doesn't fall off, because it's designed to swivel on the top of the mag orb, but it still has to be secured. Or sometimes I use these little wire things that come with garbage bags, a little tie down, then you can position it somewhere else. If you want to, say, for example, go into the opposite mode of this programming phase and program away from you. Like, for example, somebody wanted to program for a new car or something like that. What you're going to do is you're going to aim it direct, basically in the direction of what your object is. And then I usually tell people, for the example of a car, is to go get some part of that car and put it in the system, because that's like the similar. And that means that you want something of some material, like a piece of the carpet or something. One thing, and put it in the radiator, and then face the radiator in the direction of the dealership, wherever this car is that you want. And this could be done for anything. This could be done for healing. You put a piece of the sick person's hair into the system. Now, whenever you do, and face it in their direction. Now, one of the things that I must emphasize here is when you do programming, even if you're married or you're doing brother and sister or father and son or mother, daughter, or whatever, you don't tell the other person about what your program is. And you can write it down. You do your affirmation by handwriting, put it in a sealed envelope, put it in the system. More than one person excuse me, could use the system simultaneously. The system will handle as many messages as you want it to. But it's necessary that one person doesn't know what the other person's messages are, because as soon as you tell one person what you're doing, whether they encourage you to have this program come true or not, it interferes with the energy field, because it has to be a one-on-one field with you and the system. The scalar wave is a very temperamental energy, and the human race is not quite yet ready for joint programming, meaning that you and two or three others would share a program. It's all right to network a system for a joint cause, but not for individual programming requirements. In other words, if you're networking a system, you're working with a group, and you're saying to the group, what we want to do is we want to heal this planet. We're going to send out healing energy to the planet. Maybe we want to work on the environment, some of these oil spills. We want to send some healing energy out to the animals affected. What you would do then is you would individually, without telling the other person how you programmed it, program your system. But you could have commonality conversation, saying that, yes, my system is part of the group, and we're all working together to get this common goal accomplished. That's the type of thing that I'm talking about here. Now, when you install a system, when you put the star orb up, I always tell people to put the star orb away from the system. Doesn't matter where in the house or building or shed or apartment or office or where you put it, but preferably put it somewhat some distance away in the self-help system. When you get into the quad system, it's a little different. I'm going to read a little further here now. It says, this is from page 9 of the systems catalog. It says, some important tips about programming. First of all, it says, timing is of the utmost importance when programming a system. Never initiate a new program during the full moon cycle, which is a 2.5-week period. This is because the consciousness of the enlightened is severely governed by the three cycles of the moon. One is a 28-day cycle, one is a 30-day, and one is a 33-day cycle. Light workers who use the systems for the benefit of planetary evolution will be met by resistance during the full moon by those forms whom are in the process of disrupting the planetary forces that are at work to bring in the new age. However, during the new moon period, these forms are asleep and will offer no resistance whatsoever. So pick a period of the new moon to officiate your programs if you want to amplify your effort. Choose a time daily to meditate in the system. Once you begin to observe the feedback from your program, you will begin to build a confidence that will eliminate the daily reinforcement program. Some people only address their systems annually, whereas others will go to a cycle of every few months. To load a program into the system, first set up the basic configuration as to the type of program you desire. Then lay down directly under the director crystal and place a temple crystal directly over the bridge of your nose. Close your eyes and allow your thoughts to be directed into the crystal on your forehead. As soon as the energy is strong, it will proceed on its own into the system. It is quite common to feel a tingling where the crystal is making the body connection. Then the program is loaded into the master crystal. When the program is loaded into the master crystal, the temple crystal will fall off of its own accord off your forehead. If, for example, you were asking for a new car, a positive affirmation would be advisable. Before submitting your thoughts to the system, go down to the dealership that has the exact auto that you want and remove a small strip of the carpet from the car. Put the sample into a non-transparent envelope along with a written request. place the envelope into the transmitting chamber of the radiator, and then proceed to use the above-described loading methods. I know it was real funny when one of the aerospace engineers that came to one of my seminars bought a system, and he wanted to use it to program some real estate transactions. So he bought a house. He opened escrow on a set of condominiums over in Phoenix, Arizona, and he was going to have to come up with about a $10,000 down payment. Well, by programming the system, it was real interesting because as he got into escrow, he got three people that wanted to rent rooms or rent condominiums from on his master building, each to put up a $4,000 deposit, which included the first month's last rent and the cleaning fees. And so he ended up with $12,000 as he closed escrow available to him. So the man didn't even have to use it, put up a down payment to get into this building structure that he wanted. Of course, he got the deal and he had some money left over. That's just one example of programming a system. I could give many, many, but it's not really necessary. The systems are so effective and there's so many people that we can network you to when you're ready to purchase a system that already have one that have had results. It's easier for other people to explain to you directly their results. The next system up is what we call the quad system. And that's the one that's normally used for programming for objects or events. The singular radiator system is normally used for the programming of self-help and maybe in a remote healing somewhere. The quad system is set up in an area where you have like a large square. Imagine a square that's maybe like 7 or 8 feet from one corner to the other. In each parameter of the square, you would set up one radiator and one megorb on a plastic plate with, of course, all the appropriate crystals that are necessary for it. The bottoms of the megorbs are all aligned to magnetic north in the quad system setup. And then all the bases are wired together with a special high-voltage wire that we use that makes it possible for Tesla-powered negative DC power supply to connect all of the units together. Now, once you've learned to use the system and program it with your crystal, you can disconnect the DC generators for a lot of applications. Some applications are always required. Another thing I found is that eventually you won't have to program your system anymore by having your crystal on your forehead, a lead glass crystal. The way I program mine is I carry a crystal around in my pocket, and I just leave it in my pocket. It's a little crystal that I've become very fond of. And when I'm at home during the new moon, I always put it on the master crystal, which is inside the system, for it to charge in the system. And then I carry it around in my pocket when I go different places for programming purposes. And that crystal will come into your life when you're ready for it, and you're ready to receive for it, and you ask for it. It's usually a crystal that comes to you automatically. Now, once you've got your bases of your radiator set up, you have two options. Naturally, the system is going to be programmed during the new moon and left alone during the full moon. So your first option is to add the Omnion and add the star orb and use it in the center of the system, which eliminates rotating the radiators back and forth. Or you can not use the Omnion at first and turn your system back and forth in the new moon, full moon, in what we call the lunar configurations. Now, what has to happen is when you're working with a big system like this during the full moon, you need to cancel all the negative energy that's coming into it. So then what you do is you would position, just like you position the radiator towards yourself and underneath the pyramid in the bed, you would now position the radiators during the full moon cycle all towards the center of the room. And so all of the radiators that are pointing in there, and the energy, all the scalar wave generators, there's four of them now, are negating themselves or canceling their energy fields out. Then what would happen during the full moon period, you would face all four of them out, and they would all point out to the four different directions of the universe. And this process, of course, every 2 weeks of changing four big radiators, rewiring and securing them, gets to be a problem. So the Pleiadians solved the problem for us in 1982 when Sannyasi gave us a design of a thing called the Omnion. The Omnion is a large structure that's placed directly in the center of the system. And then two radiators are placed out, two radiators are placed in, So in other words, two are permanently placed facing toward the center of the system, two on opposite corners of the square, and the two on the other opposite corners of the square are always permanently facing out. And then what happens is the omnion is then hooked to a ground wire and suspended directly below the star orb. The star orb is also connected in series with the omnion and the ground wire to a pulley directly above the center of the system. Then the wire is run outside the house and grounded. And for this application, it must be grounded into the ground. A water pipe is not going to be sufficient. It has a tendency to be noisy, and there's not enough grounding energy. This system requires heavy grounding because it will move heavy energies. And then, so what happens is the omnion with the star orb are grounded, and during the full moon, they are placed directly in the center of the system, preferably pretty close to the ground. Then when the new moon comes, you use a second pulley, you hook a pulley up to it, or a string, directly above the omnion, and then off to one side. So when you pull the pulley, it will swing the omnion up and out of the way. Now the omnion and the star orb still remain grounded, but when you lift them up into the air and pull them off to the left or right or north or south, they'll swing up out of the way. They'll still be grounded, but they won't interfere with the system.
This seminar series is continued on the other side.
That's interesting. So now what we're going to do here is, before we turn it over, I'm going to talk for a second or two on the projectors. The projectors also do very similar things than the quad systems, except that it works on a holographic level. And the two can work very well together. The holographic level takes it to a much higher frequency in the hologram. Remember, the projectors are working with wave packets, and the wave packets are made by the irradiator system in the form of scalar wave packets. So what happens is you can intensify the hologram quite a bit by working with the irradiator system, like, for example, a self-help system first, and then once you get your master crystal oscillating into your self-help system, which is the irradiator and the mega orb and the pyramid over the bed, or where you're going to meditate, where you're going to go inside of it with the orb and the capstone on it, and a laser and a crystal going into the area, a crystal hanging above the pyramid in the capstone area with a laser shooting into it to raise the frequencies of the 402 and lower nanometer region, which goes down into ultraviolet, which goes into the astral plane. With all that working, then you can combine that with the holographic system and start off with one projector and then add two and three and four. Bottom line is, if you're running four radiators and four holographic projectors, you have a system that's basically scary. It's so efficient. So these are some of the things that you need to, it's good to know about. And you can always contact us at www.pyridyne.com or Fred Bell at pyridyne.com. Or you can also go over to raisethetruth.tv and sign up on that website, because all these websites have a lot of information, an awful lot of information on the way that all these systems are combined. We've got a lot of new things. You know, we're doing 1 hour interviews every month on .tv on questions you send in and great depth answers. So I'll let Dr. Bell kick back in here.
During the time they are being used, they're converting all the negative energies and processing all the negative energies to ground.
The Omnion by itself is also used as an interastral projection and communications device, and it can be used with one irradiator or seven irradiators, or in this case, four irradiators. Next thing we always tell people, the best place we find is to put the master crystal is directly below the Omnion in the center of the system. Because during the full moon, when the master crystal is receiving a lot of negative energy, the Omnion, which also has crystal in it, will be pulling out this negative energy out of the master crystal so that the master crystal can function, cleansing the energies as they come through and putting more positive energies back out. And during the full moon is when the master crystal has to work very hard at doing this job. During the new moon, the master crystal has got plenty of excess energy. Doesn't need the Omnion per se, so you can swing the Omnion up and out on its pivotal arrangement. Now, usually what people do is with the master crystal in the center of the system, we'll start to program for other crystals, what we call amplifier crystals. And these amplifier crystals will be placed in the vicinity around or surrounding the master crystal. And eventually you'll find that you'll have several large crystals similar in size to the master crystal, but like I said before earlier when I talked about crystals, you don't want them quite as big. But the system will attract automatically the crystals it wants and will reject the crystals that it doesn't want. This takes a period of a year or two, but it's really fun once the process begins of this crystal rearrangement and arrangement into your life. I mean, it's a great pleasure to watch this process going on. Usually also in the room, we'll have other amplifier crystals placed at different points. And we have a thing called a choke. And if you were to take a carbon atom and accelerate it up beyond the speed of light, it would collapse upon itself. Normally a carbon atom is an octahedron, but as it approaches the speed of light, it begins to collapse on itself, forming like the Star of David. To imagine what that looks like, you would just have to take two pyramids, put one right side up and one upside down, and then compress them. Imagine what they're because of the bases, it would be hard to do this if they're the same size, but imagine one pyramid going inside the other one. And as they collapse on each other, the upside down one and the right side, when they merge in the center, you'll see four different areas in the four corners of the two pyramids forming another set of triangles, upside down and right side up triangles. If you were to fill that in, you would end up with two sets of octahedrons, four sets of octahedrons, one forming in each corner as the outer carbon atom collapses. This represents the geometric progression of the interdimensional transition of the carbon atom into the fourth dimension. It actually speeds up in its energy field and forms another shape. At the point that you have these four configurations forming in each one of the four corners, you would choose the direction which you and aim your consciousness into that direction, and that would be the plane of dimension that you would move from, because the fourth dimension is a key to a fifth dimension and other different kinds of dimensions. And once you had gone into, pick the north corner, the north quadrant of this collapsing carbon atom to merge the consciousness into, it would come up in a multiple of speed of light. It would now be an astral shape, and it would start to collapse as you went to another multiple speed of light, and you would move again in that direction. In this way, it begins to form a scalar process, and you begin to mechanically move through the now time. Now, from here to another complete different solar system might, on the physical plane, take hundreds of light years or be hundreds of light years distant away. But when the actual physical transition of the way the fabric of space is contained, this collapsing and building process might move you just slightly to the right or the left, and you would cross great distances of space and time because you've gone down inside the illusion and reduced your energy field to smaller than the size of an atom. In this configuration, you become a fabric of something else. Then when the process is reversed, you restructure yourself somewhere else in this fabric, and you end up on this across the space. This is why we talk about flat space, negatively curved space, and positively curved space. It has to deal with that. So we developed a device that goes on in the irradiator that represents this configuration. It's called a time choke. And what it does is it speeds up or slows down the scalar transiting frequency, the scalar waves transiting frequencies, meaning that although scalar waves are timeless and they move through space and time, you can affect their movement and their distance, the depth of their penetration into the fabric of space with this type of choking apparatus. So when you have one of those, you put it in one of the four radiators, and then, of course, the entire system is geared to work in this manner. Now, the next system or configuration that we get into is the system 3, which we use in 7 radiators. And, of course, 7 radiators using in a system 3 is going to be a little bit more difficult and cumbersome, then so you're going to need a little bit larger area, but of course the results are quite a bit different too. In a systems 3, for example, you would go into the center of a large room and draw a compass or an imaginary line from the north to south pole along the face of the compass, which is pointing to the north and the south. And you would draw an imaginary line out to the edge of the room, as far out in the room as you could get. And when this line intersected the edge of the room, you would call that T1. And that's where you would place your first irradiator with its megor base lined up to magnetic north and the irradiator now facing the center of the room. Then what you would do is go back down to the center of the room again and put a protractor along this line at the point where the compass was sitting in the exact center and draw off an imaginary 52-degree line. 52-degree line would be the angle of the pyramid, and now you would draw a long line out from the center of the line, and that would be coming out approximately 52 degrees, and that would become T2. And then you go back to the center of the room and put your protractor back down, draw 52 degrees more, draw an imaginary line from the center out 52 more degrees, or 104 degrees from the first line to the edge of the room, wherever that part would be, and you end up with T3, and you repeat this 7 times, so you end up with an entire 7 different positions. And in each position, you would place an irradiator with the megor base line, the magnetic north, and the center of the irradiator facing into the room. When you finish, you would end up with 7 irradiators, and you've also defined pi, the radius of a circle.
Now, once you have set the system up, system 3 up, got your 7 irradiators, your first one being T1, pointing towards north, and it's the closest one in the circle towards the north. So just imagine if you're looking from your ceiling down, now what you've got is you've got a big circle, as big a circle as possible, as you can fit inside this room. Preferably the room is emptied out of all furnishings, with the exception of maybe a few plants and mirrors. And looking down from the top of the room, you see this big circle, and the top part of the circle points to the north. It's magnetic north. And then 52 degrees around the circle is the first irradiator. The bottom of it pointing towards the megorb is pointing towards magnetic north. Radiator itself is facing in. Then another 52 degrees around. Got another radiator set up at the base of the megorb facing magnetic north. The radiator facing in. All the way around, so you'll end up with 7 radiators positioned exactly 52 degrees apart, which defines a circle. Now, in the center of the circle, you would probably place your master crystal and possibly your omnion with your star orb fastened to the top of that. Any other kinds of crystals. What you've got is a cosmic medicine wheel here on one level, and it generates tremendous scalar frequencies. You would connect all of the bases of the megorbs together and then connect them to one of our large systems power supplies. A large system power supply is a must here now because of the incredible amounts of energy that you're going to be running through the system. And you need to have every cell in your body vitalized. Now, also on each bottom of each radiator, you would need 2 local stones, and you would need 2 pieces of quartz, small quartz points, 5, 6, 7 pound quartz points. And these would be in every, so you'd have 14 of each in the bases of these megorbs. Then up in the mixing chamber, which is the chamber up above the base part of the megorb, the higher part that shows in the diagrams where this is, you would then place a different, I love making this tape series because as I'm working on it, even though I have a semi-soundproof recording room, I still hear this horrible noise of jets flying by from the military base nearby. quite a ways away, but it's still sound pollution. Makes me sometimes want to be back on Era, where all I hear is a saucer go by, and they sound a lot better than this. So anyway, you'd have these gemstones placed up in the mixing chambers. Now, if you look in the back of Death of Ignorance, you'll see a chart with a gemstone that correlates to each one of the chakras in the body. And so if you want to go forward in time, in consciousness, you would start by getting energies in the base of the spine going and bring the spinal energy up to the crown chakra. So you got to realize that the earth is turning at 1,000 miles per hour first, and it's turning in the direction of the west towards the east, or it's turning counterclockwise. So what you want to do is go clockwise, the opposite, with your energy fields. Also realize that if it's turning counterclockwise, there are tremendous currents being generated inside the system. Because of the point in space where the Earth is and you are on the planet, it's moving 1,000 miles an hour in reference to where the Pleiades are, where other planets are, where the Sun is, where the Moon is. There's a tremendous velocity going on here. That's why the Moon turns at night. There appears to go across the sky, and the Sun and all these things. People aren't aware of it. The fact that they're seeing that these positions move, but they're also an energy field there that's correlating to a turbulence, which can be harnessed. And remember when we talked earlier about the struct zone energies, where the spirit force moves into the chakras on the knees of the nerves, and it strikes, creating a shock wave in the chakra or the nerve ending, which then explodes down through the etheric body, which is coming in through the cells in the body, the nuclear membrane point, where there's little holes in each nuclear membrane of each cell. So there's a tremendous, and of course the cells are reproducing at 50 million per second if you're healthy. So what we're doing is we're starting to play around with these forces now. When this spiritual force strikes the body from the different seven levels, depending on where in the body it's picking up that consciousness to bring it into the bloodstream so that the blood can circulate it through the body. Depending on where this is happening, there are certain amounts of energy that's shocked, that's stunning you, that's causing you to be gravitated into time. And there are certain amounts of energy that you're escaping with that's freeing you of time. So what we want to do is amplify the escaping energy and transmute the gravity energy to zero. And of course, when you do this, the levitation system three then is going to levitate you. You're coming off the ground. That's one of the side effects that you're going to get. When the TM people of America do a lot of research with the system, and they've been real successful in getting people hopping using this technique. And also there's one lady in Hawaii that has been able to levitate almost 30 feet in the air. I do caution you, though, if you go in that direction and you start to go off, we did have this one individual who floated very high in the air and then floated outside the circle, meaning that once she got up to the ceiling level, or as high as the ceiling would allow her to go, she began to drift over to one side of the room outside of this big giant circle that we laid out with the radiators in it. And when she got outside the circle, it broke the field, and she fell, and did hurt herself severely. So I caution you, when you start playing around with this, on this level, this is going to be a side effect for some people. So now what you have to do is you have to activate this energy. So you put gemstones corresponding to the base of the spine, which would be an amethyst. You put the gemstone in time zone one, which is the one towards magnetic north. Then, of course, you want to activate time zone 2, and you would come up to something like a citron, which would be a stomach area gemstone. And then you'd come up, and that would be in time zone 2. Now you go into time zone 3, going clockwise, which would be the third stationary radiator column. And you would put in there something like something related to the heart area of the body, which is coming up in frequency more, which would be blue. So something in the blue, like sapphire, would be good. And you can use the receptors for this if you don't have the gemstones. The quality of the stones and the receptors, whether it be synthetic or natural, doesn't matter. They both work. And you could then go into the throat chakra with T4 with a emerald. And then T5, you could go on into the pituitary body with a ruby, and then in T6 you could go into the top of the head with a diamond, and then you could come around to T7 and you could put another diamond in it, or some other white stone or lighter stone, or you could spiral the energy down with a piece of not amethyst, but something like lapis, which would then run the energy back down to blue again. So you create a spiraling effect. And of course, what happens is as the Earth rotates through space and it's being struck, the system has got its strike zones too. Spiritual energy is coming from space also and striking this each irradiator. Each irradiator then is releasing a spiritual chakra mantram energy field. And there's pictures of it in a lot of our literature, what the field looks like. This energy is then striking the struck zones, the target zones and the chakras in the human body, whoever's inside the center of the circle. And of course, because it's being pushed by the big system with this huge power supply on it that we recommend, plus all the power coming from the irradiators, all in the form of scalar type energy, which is a pure form of the energy. It's not being distorted now by ELF and radiation, and it's not being distorted by sound, negative sound waves, because I would assume that you would have one of our meditation tapes on there, or somebody's meditation tape that has fourth dimensional timbre characteristics like we talked about during the sound session. We have plenty of tapes if you want to use ours. And so then you would use your lasers. You would have lasers firing into the different crystals throughout the system. And what the end result is, your body has got to go into the fourth dimension because you've asked it to. It will go. It doesn't take much encouragement at this point in time with a little bit of a meditation to the point where you could probably not even think about going. You're on your way anyway. And sometimes we get materializations in our systems. I know those of you that are looking at the audio series, you'll see David Tickle. He's on the audio series. He's one of the producers of some big bands like U2 and some of the other big bands. Works a lot with Phil Collins and Rod Stewart. And he's had these kinds of people out there before, and they've had materializations in his system. And he's only got a quad system, meaning he's got four radiators. When you get up into seven, you're going to get a lot more results than you will with four. Also, what happens is when you're working with the system, because it's firing all the chakras so fast, you're going to start vibrating a little bit. And don't be afraid if you get a tingling throughout your body, sort of like your hand going to sleep. It's a form of astral projection. Just go with the feeling. Don't try to block it. Don't be afraid of it. It will gradually consume your body. Some people feel a tremendous calm and then the tingling. Some people feel the tingling and then the calm. It all depends. If you want to program the system like you would a quad system, you could lay in the center of it with a pyramid constructed in the center of it, and you could program it just as though you were in a quad system. There's just many things to do with the irradiators in the end position. Now, if you are running it through the moon cycles, new moon, full moon cycle, and you wanted to use it just for programming like a quad system, you would put one irradiator towards the center, one irradiator towards the outside, one towards the center, one towards the outside, and swing the Omnion up and down like you normally would in a quad system. For further information on these things we're talking about, I don't expect you to realize all these procedures hearing them from the first time on this tape series, but what I do expect is for you to get a basic understanding of how the system works and not get caught up in the mechanical configurations. We have specialists that will help you. We can network you. There's a million different things we can do if you've gone to this point and you've educated yourself and you've realized and experienced at this level, because this is one of the ultimate experiences I feel you can have on this planet with our technology as it exists for the general public at this point. Now, there are other things you can do with the system. For example, when we had the last Great Earth Day, I believe it was several years ago, we were at a tower on top of the San Francisco, the old Cathedral Hill Hotel. I guess it was called Cathedral Hill, now it's called the Dactar Hotel, or it was vice versa. But anyway, we had a large room rented up there, and what we did is we had a huge group, and we had seven radiators set up in about a 30-foot circle. And what we did is we put all of the radiators pointing, rather than pointing in and out, we put them all in one direction, and that direction was clockwise. So, I mean, we had every irradiator face every other irradiator. So if you were standing on the outside of the circle, they would all be facing the direction of the circle if you were looking clockwise. Then we took the group and We had about 15 or 20, maybe 30 people. And we had the group run counterclockwise around the radiator, you know, system on the radiator. And we had them like jogging out there. And it was real interesting in the fact that a lot of people started to achieve levitation in the group. Instead of making like a 6-foot stride, they were making 8-foot strides. The Tibetans call this phenomenon the 60-foot leaps. And you can develop it. And the whole group was doing it. And of course, when you're working with group energy, it's a lot easier and a lot quicker with these what I call superphysical feats. You can do it sometimes in one afternoon, whereas on an individual basis, it might take 2 or 3 months. Because your body has to be taught a lot of new things. And of course, working with a system over a period of time, your body will be taught a lot of things because gradually the hormone manufacture and secretion in the body changes. And as this change takes place, what happens is your body genetically mutates in the direction that it should have genetically mutated towards a higher beingness and a higher consciousness. And unfortunately, we're not, as I've said many times before, because it's a polluted environment. We're not even beginning to realize our super physical capabilities. What we're starting to do is barely survive. And this is so stupid because we should all be super physical beings now. That's what we are. We should be realizing that. So the System 3 helps you realize that. And you can position the radiators in many different directions and do many different things. The sky is the limit. And what I always do when people get to this level, I like to network them with other people because I don't know very much about the system myself except that it works. It works well, and it works, and they're all over the world. And I've seen people do things far greater in certain capacity than I've been able to do because I'm so busy, I don't have the time to spend in my own system. I'm too busy developing them and educating people on how they work to really get in and enjoy them. And the third problem that I have is that my house isn't big enough to hold one. I only have a quad system. Someday when I have a larger house, I'm going to have a huge system. And I've even entertained the idea of stacking systems, meaning that if I had a large enough room, I would set up 7 radiators as the first circle. And then I would set up more than 7 on the next circle, and more than 7, and on the third circle, I would put even more radiators. I would have 3 rows of radiators and megorbs all lined up facing in or out, or you could have them alternate directions, one circle facing in, the next one out, and the next one it's against itself and the other one counterclockwise. And I would stack these radiators in the Fibonacci series, meaning that if I looked at a pine cone, for example, which might have 3 on 3 pine cones, and then on one circle and 5 on another, and then 8 on another, and then 13 on another, I would do the same thing with the radiators. I would work up a configuration that was working with the chakras, look at the spokes on the chakras of what I wanted to accomplish, because realize that every single chakra in your body has spokes, and what we're trying to really do is change the struck zone energy into which normally turns into gravity and bonding into the third dimension. You're trying to change that struck zone energy into spiritual energy and free it into the fourth dimension. So you would naturally tune up the chakras that you really wanted to pound on, where your blockages were the greatest, in order to release this energy. So there's no limit to what you could do with 2 or 3 new systems staggered together. Now that's just the beginning of what System 3 can do. Now we have another type of system also, which is called the Fire Star. And the Fire Star can be just as exciting. It takes up a lot less space as System 3. Now the Fire Star is not designed to get you levitating or get you in and out of dimensions per se. But it's designed to develop your psychic resources so that you can become a contactee or a channel or a clairvoyant or whatever you want. Now, you may already be all of those things already. Then what the Fire Star will do for you is make it a lot easier for you to perform these functions. Now, the Fire Star works with the system or with the body. And instead of working on 7 chakras to 10 chakras like the System 3 is, the Fire Star works on 4 chakras at one time. 4 of them. So that it has 4 chambers, and each chamber, what you end up doing is putting in the appropriate gemstones to work with the chakras that you want to work with. And the chakras that are, in order to become a spiritual channel, you wouldn't just work with any chakra. You'd find the ones that are blocking you, because when you start channeling, it's not a set thing to, say, open up crown, the Alta Major Center, and the and the brow chakra and the base of the spine. It's not a set thing to do that. Those may already be open, and you may have a problem in your heart chakra or in the gonad area. There's any different area that may be blocking you on the very high part of your body. Your crown might be just fine, whereas somebody else may have a problem. Their body chakras might be working good, but their crown is blocked. So you've got to find out which area that you need to develop. And we have a lady named Mrs. Terry that that will do this. She's our spiritual consultant for the company. I'll give you her phone number in a little bit. I have to look it up. Currently in my studio here, I don't have it handy. But we had one experience. One girl is a singer, and she was working on her singing career, and she developed a blockage in her throat, which caused her upper octaves in her, you know, she had like a hole in her voice in her octave range. And we had a Firestar built for her, tuned into the throat chakra and pituitary area where she was blocked. You know, a lot of times when we do muscle testing, for example, the person that's overweight for a receptor, and you would assume that when you muscle test somebody for a receptor that's overweight, that they're going to test strong on the thyroid or the emerald. But a lot of times they'll test strong on the pituitary because the weight problem is back up the chain of command a little bit further to the pituitary area, which is a tropic hormone center with the thyroid gland. Well, this is the same problem this girl had. She had a pituitary problem that was affecting her throat. And so when we tuned the Firestar orb to tune her vibratory rate through her throat frequencies, you know, through the control center, her, in one session with the Firestar, her voice changed. Now when she goes out on tour, she's so impressed with it, and she's getting a major recording deal right now, and the whole world will see her soon. I'm designing a huge Firestar for her to put on stage to turn the whole audience on. And like I said earlier, when I was in Europe, I met my wife because I was playing a concert, and we had a Firestar orb set up in Marno in Bavarian Alps, and while I was playing the frequencies of the Pleiadian sounds into the Firestar with 500 people concentrating, it invoked a lot of flying saucers. It takes about 3 months for this phenomenon to happen if you're tuning it to the extraterrestrial frequencies. We find that, for example, I put one up in Oldenburg, Germany, and the guy named Warner had it up there, and he had it for a long time. He had it for almost 2.5 months, and he called me up and he says, "I haven't seen any extraterrestrials or have any sightings yet." And I says, "Warner, how long have you had it now?" And he says, 2.5 months. And I says, "You know, you Germans are a little impatient." And I says, "Just wait a little longer." Exactly on the third month, on the 90th day that he installed that system, he called me up, and I was in Munich at my distributor's office over there, and he said, "Fred, I don't know how to tell you this, but we had the sighting, and it was, today's the anniversary of the third month." And he says, "Not only did we see it," he said, "half the town of Oldenburg saw it. It made the front page of the newspaper, and we videotaped it." And it was real interesting because later on in the seminar, when I saw him, he gave me the videotapes, which I presently have in my possession, of this flying saucer flying right down the freeway by his house, or the Autobahn, I should say. Then we had another incident. We were up, we were staying next door to Jack Nicholson at a friend's house in Aspen, Colorado, and we had one set there, and it brought in a ship. The whole town saw it. It was in the Aspen Times. This is in about 1982. Then I went up there with David Tickle in 1986 just to visit the place, and we took a photograph by the old house, even though the Firestar wasn't there anymore. And strangely enough, when we developed the photograph, 4 ships showed up in it. So the energy was still there, and it was interesting because I put that picture in our catalog, in our current catalog. On the second page, you'll see the picture of the 4 ships. They're just coming out of like a cloud screen, and I remember I had one of Billy Myers' pictures showed a Semyasi ship just hiding itself in some clouds, and you could see the outline of the ship very clearly. It wasn't like one of these renticular clouds at all. It was definitely the outline of the ship in there. I got that picture in my possession too. So we've had a tremendous amount of fun with the Firestars. Now, another thing about them is they're like a receptor, like a giant receptor. Let's say that you had a blockage in 4 chakras. Mrs. Terry told you what those blockages were. you use the Firestar, you tune the Firestar to remove the problem of the four blockages. You remove this, the problem stayed removed for 6 months, and suddenly you weren't getting the results of the Firestar that you thought you should be getting at that point in time. So what you would do then is you would retune the Firestar to the next vibratory frequency up from where you were tuned it last, and move on again in the chakra experience. And a little later on, I'm going to play a excerpt from one of my radio shows that I used to have on KFOX in Long Beach for a long time. Actually, Hermosa Beach, when I moved over to Hermosa. But there's a conversation that I had on the air one night about a Firestar and an experience, and I want to share that with you a little later on. The Firestar, my wife likes to teach classes on it. We have a backup unit. I've done some more research with it. We developed a backup plate for the Firestar. And what the backup plate does is it's called a shield. It concentrates the energy into a more focal point. The Firestar is hung normally on the wall at something like about a 40 to 50 degree angle. And depending on where you're positioning yourself on the ground, you point the Firestar at you, so it centers directly on you. So in the position of your meditation or where you're utilizing it, when you look up, you'll be looking directly into the focal point of the Firestar. Those of you that haven't seen one, they're about 6 feet by 6 feet, like a giant cross almost, except they're positioned at a 45-degree angle, as where a cross would be vertical. Of course, the Firestar also generates the same frequencies as a flower, and so does the Systems 3. All of these systems generate the etheric frequencies of the flower. And so, cats like to lie in them. Sometimes friendly bees are attracted to them. Fun thing about it is that lower form insects that don't correspond to harmonic vibratory frequencies, like certain kinds of ants and moths, which don't, and flies, they're repelled by the Firestar and the Systems 3.
This seminar series is continued on the next tape.
So anyway, interesting, all of this stuff. And what's really interesting is that when I talked about earlier in the tape here, in this session, we talked about the Jack Tar Hotel up on Harmonic Convergence, levitating 60 people with what's called a 60-foot leaps. And Moody Blues sang a song about that, as a matter of fact. And the hotel that we're going back to on May 12th, after all these years, I've never done anything there since then. It's exactly the hotel that we did this before, and I'm sure we're going to be right up there in the Japanese Pavilion again many years later doing this. So anyway, tomorrow night is Jonathan Goldman. Hopefully you'll be hearing this on this. You'll be picking this broadcast off of BBS Radio or the raysoftruth.tv. That's another place that this will be up on. There's a lot of other good things going on, but until we talk to you tomorrow night, welcome to Dr. Fred, or actually Saturday night. We'll see you Saturday night. Thank you for making this the most popular show on BBSRadio.com.